Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday afternoon, July the 4th, 2010. Carla Batod is the speaker of this service, teaching on Deliverance Begins in the Home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
You take care of it, and then they're better. Well, we saw this, you know, it would be like, oh, you'd put it off. And then you finally spank them, and the rest of the day, they're wonderful. My husband said, maybe we just need to wake them up every day and whip them. Of course, we didn't do that. But look at verse 11. It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. So when the chastening is going on, it's not a joyous thing, but it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised by it. And that's what we found. When we did that, our children would have that fruit of righteousness, and it's peaceable fruit. So discipline is a necessary thing. That curse of the bastard has many, many manifestations that stand in the way of people growing in the Lord, of even being able to receive love from God. That spirit is a very strong spirit. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That word correction means chasten. To correct by punishment, also purify. To prune of excess, pretense, or falsity. To cause to be more humbled or restrained. That's what the word chasten means. It has a pruning effect. When you chasten them, it prunes off that thing that's causing bad fruit, and then you'll have good fruit. It means discipline, and that means training that corrects and results in self-control and moral character. You see the benefits? Instruct and admonish. Admonish is to indicate duties or obligations to express warning or disapproval to, especially in a gentle, listen to this, especially in a gentle, earnest, or meticulously careful manner, not with anger. See, if you look at correction as a matter-of-factly thing, almost like a teacher getting up in front of the class and teaching, then you don't have to wait till you get angry to do it. You do it when it's necessary, and you tell them why. That's the rod of correction. You speak the correction, but it's after the admonishment. Ephesians 6:4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. See, when you don't discipline your child, you are provoking them to wrath. They just get madder, badder, and more intolerable. So you don't want to provoke your children to wrath. Or some of them will just, you know, kind of just, they'll be at it, but they don't actually do it until it makes the child frustrated. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And nurture means tutorage, education, and instruction. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself gets his own way, or one that gets his own way brings his mother to shame. You know, we had our middle son was in rebellion, and it caused a lot of problems and brought a lot of shame, shameful things. And I read this scripture and I said, now wait a minute, why does it bring the mother to shame? And what I got from that is that it is the father's responsibility to discipline And if the father doesn't discipline, it really doesn't affect the father the way it does the mother. So it's very important for the dads to take initiative to discipline the children. Okay, Proverbs 29:17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." That's the way it's supposed to be. Disciplined children are calmer, they're happier, they're more secure, more mature, and more successful. Isaiah 54:13 says that, it says, "And all thy children are taught of the Lord, and great the peace of thy children." So when you teach and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, then you're going to have children who will have peace in their lives. You know, I know that ADD and ADHD are real. They're real. Some children have this affliction, and there's medication that they're given for it. But the deaf and dumb spirit is at work in that ADD, ADHD. There's a deaf and dumb spirit attached, and there's also arrested development that could be at work in those afflictions. My husband and I'm sure that all three of my kids would have been diagnosed with ADD and ADHD because they were active. Children are active by nature. Children are active. But some ADD, my husband and I felt, were like avoided discipline disorder, because children who are not disciplined are out of control. So you want your children to be a blessing to be around. Have you ever been around children who were just so unruly? You see them coming and you just think, and you know, that's terrible to feel that way of a child because they're not disciplined. Okay. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, "And these words," and we're talking about all of God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So in Deuteronomy it says, "In these words," he's talking about all the words of God, "which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on the gates." Sounds pretty important, doesn't it, to do this? I mean, it's supposed to be an all-day thing. That's how my daddy was. I could say, "Dad, what time is it?" And he would make a spiritual teaching out of it. And sadly, I do that same thing to my... but he wants us to do that, to teach them God's Word and the importance of that. Deuteronomy 21:18, I'm going to look that up, is how we should, this is how God hates disobedience. Deuteronomy 21:18 says, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and when they have chastened him, he will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of this city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die." Well, that was a pretty strict thing. It says, "So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." I told this to my kids one day. I said, "It is a good thing that you were born in the New Testament day, because in the Old Testament, they would have to drag you out to the gates of the city." In fact, I told my grandson the other day, "You know, your dad and I, in the Bible it says that if you have a stubborn son and he's rebellious and a glutton and a drunkard, to take him out to the gates of the city and stone him to death. Well, we don't use rocks, but y'all meet us at the end of the driveway. We're going to bring a gun. We're going to settle this thing right now. Of course, we wouldn't do that. But, you know, I do say to kids, thank God that you were born in the New Testament time under the grace of Jesus Christ, because that was a law. That's what they were to do. And they did it. The whole city would go out there and witness. Why? You think those other kids standing there next time Mama or Daddy said do something, they didn't jump? They didn't want to be next being stoned to death. But that's how much God hates rebellion. He hates rebellion. And as parents, really, and this really, today it's not a law that we do this with our kids, but we need to make them understand that even though it was a real law back then, it's still a spiritual law, that when you're rebellious and all these things that it said, you are bringing a curse of death into your life. A curse of death. And you could lose your life before your time because of rebellion. Children are to be a blessing. Psalm 127 says in verse 3, they use descriptive words like heritage, inheritance, reward, arrows, a good thing, happy and not ashamed. In verse 3 it says, lo, children are an heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb His reward. As arrows in the hands of a mighty man. See, the arrows in the hands of a mighty man are useful and prosperous. So the children of youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. They will be known. They will be known as men of integrity and honor. And as parents, we, especially the dad, is like the representation of God on the earth. We men are to be, how do I put it? Like God is with us. The dad should be with the children as God is with us. The sad thing is, not much of this kind of thing is taught when you go to church on Sunday morning. You hear sermons and stuff, but it would probably offend some, because like, what business of it is yours, how we raise our kids. Those are our kids, but they're really not. They're just on loan from God. They've been entrusted to us for a time, and believe me, it's a short time. 18 to 20 years is not very long. Have shoes older than that. You know. So our responsibility is to, first and foremost, is to bring our children into a right relationship with God. And they will that will be easy for them if they have that kind of guidance from dad. Well, what if you didn't have a dad that did that with you? That's most families set up. The man comes from his family. He repeats what his family was. Or if it was really, really bad, he says, I'm not going to do that. And he does just the opposite, which swings way over here, and it's bad to the other side. And the wife comes from her family. She's watched her mother, and she does what her mother did generally. And we have the godly family, the godly man and the godly woman and the godly parents, the godly marriage. All of those things have been so perverted in our society. They're not godly. And the family is a God institution. Marriage is a God institution. So where else to look but to God to have what He intended for it to be? Ours, after those 10 years, it was so bad. It was over, really. Our marriage was dead. And both my brothers, that's another thing that can come down generationally, is a spirit of divorce. Now, my parents didn't divorce, but there was divorces, you know, elsewhere in the family. And if you don't know what was in your family, all you have to do is take a good look at your own family to know what was in your forefathers, because it's going to be repeated and repeated and repeated. So I said to God, hey, marriage was your idea, and mine's broken, and I can't fix it. So if we're to stay together, Lord, you're going to have to tell me what to do. And he did. And so if there's problems in that area, all you have to do is ask God, and he will be happy to begin to instruct you line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. And I mean, it didn't take long. And we were falling in love with each other again. And well, after he was convinced I wasn't going to kill him. Because when God started telling me what to do and I obeyed it, he didn't even know. It was like, I'm not turning my back on her or something. Who is this woman? You know. But it was a good thing. But he was afraid of it at first. But God has restored our marriage. So it doesn't matter how bad your marriage is. If one of you, and it would be great if both of you would, just submit yourselves to God and ask him to do what he would. Let him have his way, and he will begin to restore the marriage. Okay. So if you didn't have that kind of parent, or if you haven't been that kind of parent, just repent. Ask God to forgive you for not being a godly parent. Forgive your own parents if they didn't train you up in the way you should go. Ask God to teach you how to be a godly dad or a godly mom, and to commit your home to God and ask him to set it in proper order. But when he begins to speak to you, you have to obey what he says in order for it to work. Another meaning, oh, and also, ask God for more of his love, so that you can love, if you're a wife, so that you can love your husband and children the way that God wants you to, or if you're a husband, that you can love your wife and children the way God wants you to love your wife and children. Another meaning of the word Savior is protector, to keep from injury, harm, and destruction. You ever watch those wildlife shows? And in some instances, it's the female that takes care of the young, and in other instances, it's the male that takes care of the young. My husband and I watched, it was like the Journey of the Penguins or something like that, not long ago. And I mean, it was just amazing to watch those little babies sit on the feet of, I can't remember, it was the mother. Or was it the female that went off to get the food? Anyway, it was a long journey. It was like 80 miles or something to the water. And those little babies would sit on the feet of that parent, and the parent was very protective of that child, that baby. Other animals like lions and elephants, you know, you just watch these things, and they are very protective of their young. And we should be very protective of our young, to keep them from injury, harm, and destruction. The animal life will protect them from predators. Now, when I was a little child, there were no, well, I'm sure there were, but not like there are today. We could play outside till 10 o'clock at night in the neighborhood, you know, and your parents never had to worry about you being abducted or murdered or raped or any of those things. Those days seem to have been safer than they are now, but you can't do that with your children now. You've got to be very protective. In the last days, it says, evil men shall increase more and more. And we're seeing that. We are in the last days. Now, the last days, God made that real simple for me. Because I said something about the last days one time, and this older man came up to me and says, they've been talking about the last days when Jesus walked the earth. And I got in my car and said, well, Lord, what do you say to that? It's true. That was 2,000 years ago. I mean, he said, well, from Genesis to Matthew, those were the first days. From the time Jesus was born till he comes again, those are the last days. And I went, oh, Duh. So it is the last days, but we're getting closer and closer and closer to the end of those last days. And evil will wax more and more, and we are seeing that in our society today. So what can you do? Because, you know, we have to release our children at a very early age. My daughter went to school when she was 5, kindergarten. That's very young to put under somebody else's care. They walk in the doors of that school, you don't know what's going on in that school. You don't really know who's in charge of your child. You know the teacher, but hey, there's a lot of spirits that it's kind of like a new relationship. You're on your best behavior. Demon, don't you show yourself now. We're gonna make this thing work first, you know, and then they start coming out. So I learned early that we have the angels of God at our disposal. It says in Hebrews 1:14, and I learned really to use the angels because they were given to us. Hebrews 1:14 says about the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them, not to them? There are ministering spirits that will come and minister to you, but these, he says, are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation? Well, then there are angels sent forth to minister for you. That word minister, it means relating to the performance of service. It means work for or serve. Put to work. Workers. That's what angels are. So when I prayed over my children before they went to school, I would send the angels of God. I would send the angels of God around that school because in those days, they were having violent things happening in schools. So I would say, Lord, I stand mighty angels around that school shoulder to shoulder that no evil penetrate. And I send angels with each of my children to watch over them. Even one time, my little son, of course, at bedtime is when they want to bring up all their troubles. But he didn't want to go to school. He was crying. He was all upset. I don't want to go to school tomorrow. I said, what is the matter? Why don't you want to go to school? Because there's a boy who's going to beat me up. He said he was going to beat me up. And I said, well, Kyle, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to pray right now. I said, you know that God has mighty angels to watch over you? He has put mighty angels, and Mama does too, but God gave you a guardian angel, but I'm going to put extra angels around you when you go to school tomorrow. And that little boy who's threatening to beat you up is a bully. And he's got angels too, only they're not God's angels. They belong to the devil. And that's why he is bullying you, because he has bad angels that want to be mean to you. So I'm going to ask God to open the eyes of that little boy so that he can see the angels, because that's what Elisha did when he had his servant and they were surrounded. And the servant was afraid, and he said, Lord, open the eyes of this young man that he might see the host that is with us. And so I figure if it can happen in the Bible, it can happen today. And so I told him, now tomorrow when that little boy sees you, I'm asking God to open his eyes that he see the mighty angels that I just placed around you, and he's going to skedaddle. He's not even going to come near you because he'll be afraid of those angels, because his angels will see these angels. See, the demons can see the angels. And so the next day, I asked him what happened, and he said, he didn't even talk to me today. I said, see? So see, we can use those angels. My daughter used to go horse riding around our house, and sometimes she would stay gone just a little longer than I wanted her to, and dark was coming, and I would say, Lord, send an angel right now to her and tell her it's time to come home. And I mean, a few minutes later, here she'd come down the driveway. So, see, we have these angels that we can use to watch over our children. Commit your children to the Lord. He can keep them. Commit your home and your children to the Lord. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. Like in Exodus 12:23, when the death angel was going to pass through and they were told to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels, when the destroyer came by, if it saw the blood, it would have to pass by. So you can cover your children with the blood of Jesus, your home with the blood of Jesus. You can cover your car with the blood of Jesus while you're in it, that nothing happens. When they came to arrest Jesus, he said, "Do you not know that I could pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" See, there are, that's like 36 to 72,000, and he said more than. That's a lot of power right there. In Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear him and delivereth them." They have guardian angels. In 2 Kings 19:35, it said, "The angel of the Lord, one angel, smote 185,000 Assyrians." Now that's what I see as the warring angels. When I send out the warring angels, I see them go and do. Psalm 91:9-11 says, "Because thou hast made the Lord my refuge, the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." But you see, that's conditional. It says, "Because you have made the Lord your refuge." Make the Lord your refuge. Daniel 6:22, it says that the angels shut the mouths of the lions. That's what kept the lions from tearing him apart. There are ministering angels. Matthew 4:11 says, angels ministered unto Jesus. That was after his temptation in the wilderness when he resisted the devil. He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And the devil left him. And it said after that, angels came to minister to him. In Luke 22:43, it says, an angel strengthened Jesus in the garden while he prayed, when he was sweating drops of blood. An angel came to strengthen Jesus. So if you know someone who needs strengthening, ask God to send an angel to strengthen them. Sometimes you can send an angel to your husband at work to strengthen him or to minister to him. In Acts 5, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors for the apostles. In chapter Acts 12, Peter, an angel released Peter from prison. In Matthew 18, it says of children in verse 10, "Their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." So the angels of children are always before the Father's face. That's comforting. The messenger angels. There were many times when angels were sent to be messengers. Like the angels, I have put those angels around my grandbaby every day when they lived far away from us. And you know, she rides in the car with people, and I always want her to be safe. You know, children don't have any control over where they go or who they're with. And so I put the angels of God around that grandbaby. And recently, in February, my daughter and son were in a car accident, a bad one. They were both hospitalized for a span of time, and my son was on crutches for 3 months and had to have surgery on his leg. And we didn't even know. All we knew was that they were in a wreck. And somebody told us that our daughter was in a nearby hospital. My son had been flown to another hospital. And You know, we had no idea what we were going to walk in on. And when we opened the curtain in the emergency room, the grandbaby was sitting in a chair eating the icing off the top of the cake. She didn't have a scratch on her. Now, they were seriously injured. But, I mean, when I saw that, it was just like, wow, Lord. The angels were on duty. And then you have to exercise your power over the enemy. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." All the power of the enemy. "And nothing by any means shall hurt you." In Matthew 16:19, you're given power to bind and loose. So you can bind demons that you know that are working in people. One day the Lord showed me the prince of the power of the air. I'm sorry I didn't write that scripture down, but I think it's in Matthew, but I'm not positive. But it talks about the prince of the power of the air that worketh in the children of disobedience. I thought, well, there's one I'm going to start binding. That worketh in the children of disobedience. So you can begin to bind spirits that are working in your children. Okay. There is a prayer that I pray daily over my family, my children, my grandchildren. And I start out by binding the enemy. If I've been given power over all the power of the enemy, I want to use it. So I say, "Satan, I bind you, rebuke you, and render you powerless over my family this day." And I name them. I bind the prince of the power of the air that worketh in the children of disobedience. I bind every spirit of Antichrist. I just start going down the spirits that I know that are working in my family. I send out the warring angels to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has for them. I call down fire to burn up the altar that Satan has erected for their life. Did you know that Satan will erect an altar? Hopefully that your children will be laid on. Even if it hasn't been dealt with, you may still have one with your name on it as an adult. Because in Exodus, how many of you in here are firstborn, oldest in your family? Okay. Exodus 13:2, God said to Moses, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, of man and beast, it is mine." Now, you know, back in those days, the Hebrews, they knew the importance of being the firstborn. It was talked about this morning, royalty and how they were born and what was expected of them and how they were different and, you know, they were treated differently. Well, in those days, and even presently today, in that faith, the firstborn is the one who receives the blessing. Okay, if God made the decree that everything that opens the womb, the firstborn of man and beast, it is His, don't you know that the enemy is standing over here saying, "No, I want it." Because he is a copycat. If God said this, he's going to say this. If God said that firstborn is mine, he's going to say it's mine. He's going to try to claim it. And so if God says the firstborn is blessed and he says, "No, it's cursed." So there is a curse that is active on firstborns. Now, there's a teaching for that. I've never given it and I'm not, you know, finished putting it together. But it came from a teaching that I heard probably about 8 years ago. I have a man that comes from Nigeria every year and stays with my husband and me. And I've learned some things from him because in Nigeria, they deal with a lot of demons. And that was one that he taught on. And it ripped, boy, when he was teaching, I was thinking of my dad, who was a firstborn. I thought of my oldest brother, who was a firstborn. I thought of my firstborn. And you can see it. It's a real thing, and God is after that firstborn. So if you are firstborn, I'm going to break that curse off of your life when I pray. Now, concerning rebuking Satan, sometimes when I pray and I rebuke Satan, there's been more than one time that someone has come to me and says, you know, you really shouldn't be rebuking Satan. And I said, why? And they say, because in Jude 9, it says, even the archangel Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. So you better say the Lord rebuke you. Well, I talked to the Lord about that. And this scripture is one of them. Jesus said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Jesus rebuked Satan. Get thee behind me. You know, and we have the same authority through Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, to rebuke Satan. You don't have to be fearful about rebuking Satan. You have the authority to rebuke Satan. And he knows this scripture. And he knows that he wants to keep people right there. He doesn't want you to know that you have the authority to rebuke him. So we don't have to be afraid of rebuking Satan, because we have been given the power over all the power of the enemy. And we are seated, it says in the Word, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So it says that he was made a little lower than the angels, only in this respect, that he tasted death. Besides that, now he's resurrected and he sits above and everything else is below. So you also have that authority. Okay, so I want to pray a prayer now, and we'll be done. It'll be time to eat again. Can you believe it? Okay. Well, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your love of family. I thank you, Lord, that you have given the men a priestly anointing to operate just like you do in the church in their homes. I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that I am under my husband. I thank you that you've taught me to appreciate his place and to honor it in the name of Jesus. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you, rebuke you, and render you powerless this day over every family that is represented in this place, and even those over the internet and those who will hear this message over whatever way you hear it, over CD or DVD. I render you powerless over every family represented here. I bind the prince of the power of the air that works in the children of disobedience. I call down fire to destroy every altar that Satan has erected for all of these families that are here, for the women and the men alike, in Jesus' name. You can also break that. You can do the same thing with your children. You can call down fire and destroy the altar that Satan has erected with their names on it in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of the firstborn right now over every firstborn that is in this congregation. I break the curse of the firstborn right now in the name of Jesus. I give that unholy angel that was appointed to you at birth, leave now. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's see. Okay, now I want to bind and break the spirits that have been named in this teaching. So right now I just take authority over every spirit of Adam anger and Eve anger. Even if your mate was not here, even if you don't even have a mate, as the woman, I break Adam anger off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Man hatred, that anger, resentment, blame, the competition, contention and strife between a man and a woman. I break that off every woman here in the name of Jesus. And I break every Eve anger off of every man in Jesus' name. Eve anger, wanting to blame the woman for the trouble that he's in Jesus' name. All spirits of blame, anger, resentment, competition, contention and strife off every man in Jesus' name. I bind every spirit of Ahab in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Ahab, I break your power. If you're in the men, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Ahab, if you're in the women, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in the name of Jesus. You go. Jezebel, if you are in any man in this place, I bind your power right now and I command you to go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jezebel, if you are in the women, I bind you, break your power, and command you to leave now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of Jezebel, all those I bind and break the Antichrist spirit, the insubordination, rebellion against authority, witchcraft, manipulation, spirits of whoredom, go in Jesus' name. That nice, nasty spirit, you go. I break your power in Jesus' name. That know-it-all spirit, think you know it all. And even if someone says something, you got to one-up it. You got to be better. You got to be the best in Jesus' name. I bind and break that power. I break the power of confrontation. I'm not talking about healthy confrontation. I'm talking about in-your-face confrontation in Jesus' name. I break your power and command you to go. I come against, in Ahab, I come against that spirit of rebellion. All spirits of rebellion, you go in Jesus' name. Idolatry, go. Making your own self a god and putting yourself above God's laws, I break your power right now and command you to go. Every spirit that has caused you to abdicate your authority, go in Jesus' name. Go. Weakness, go in Jesus' name. Fear of confrontation, go in Jesus' name. The Peter Pan spirit. I come against that Peter Pan spirit that wants to be a little boy forever, never wants to grow up. I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Arrested development. I speak to arrested development in men and women alike. If it was generationally inherited, I bind it and break it right now. And I call forth a supernatural maturity to your minds right now in Jesus' name. From the womb until the age that you are now, I speak supernatural maturity to your minds in Jesus' name. I bind every unclean spirit in the name of Jesus. You go. I bind you and break your power. Every unclean spirit. Laughing at dirty jokes and telling dirty jokes and thinking things that are dirty is funny. Just everything that would cause you to enjoy those things that are unclean and ungodly. I bind you and break your power now. The spirit of perversion, you go. Every spirit of perversion, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I right now, I just bind every spirit of ancestral worship. Hanging on to mama, hanging on to daddy, grandpa, grandma, all the traditional things from ages past that are holding people back. I bind that spirit of ancestral worship right now in the name of Jesus. I bind every familiar spirit right now that came down your mother's family line. Every familiar spirit, I give you leave now in Jesus' name. Every familiar spirit that traveled down the family line in your father's bloodline, I bind you and command you to go. Every familiar spirit that's causing you trouble and causing trouble to your marriage and in the home, in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit of offense right now. I bind that spirit of offense. I break your power and command you to go. Everything somebody says is an offense to you. Did you hear what they said? They said this. They said that. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit of narcissism, thinking that you are the center of the universe and everything revolves around you. I break that power of narcissism right now and I command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of vanity, self-love, selfishness, self-consciousness, All spirits connected to the self, go. Self-importance, go in Jesus' name. Presumption, I bind you and break your power. Every spirit of sins of presumption, presuming things that are not true, and then getting bent out of shape over it. I bind those sins of presumption right now. In Jesus' name, I break your power, and I command you to cease and desist. You go and don't come back. We shut the door on every one of these spirits that we've called out, and we seal it shut with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. I bind curses, Lord, curses that are working in the men and women, in the homes, in the marriages, in the fathers, in the mothers, any curses that have come down the family line, even word-spoken curses that people have spoken over their lives, that you won't be a good mother, even self-inflicted word-spoken curses that you're not going to be a good mother or a good father, and accusations. I bind the accuser of the brethren that wants to torment. I bind and break the lying spirit that would stand beside them and tell them lies, and then they believe the lies, even lying to yourself and believing it. I bind that lying spirit, break its power. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Every lying spirit, every tormenting spirit, things bringing up things from your past, and trying to make you feel guilty, I come against all guilt, all shame, self-condemnation, self-hatred in the name of Jesus because of the mistakes that you have made. Lord, I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for your shed blood that is able to clean us of sin that is as scarlet can be made white as snow. I thank you for that, your grace and your mercy and your love. And now the unloving spirit, I come against the unloving spirit that keeps you from receiving love and giving love. I bind and break the curse of the bastard off of you right now in the name of Jesus. I break it in Jesus' name. I command all insecurity to go. Insecurity, go. If you were not disciplined properly, it caused you to feel unloved and insecure in who you are. All spirits of insecurity, go. Immaturity, I speak to the spirit of immaturity, go. Childishness, foolishness, in Jesus' name, I bind it and command it to go. All spirits of failure, go in Jesus' name. I bind you and command you to go. Leave God's people in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I ask you to release a father's blessing right now on every man or woman who's here who did not have a father that loved them properly, that did not show who you are in their home to their children, or to the grown children that are here that did not have fathers that represented you properly in the home. I just ask for a father's blessing right now. Just, Lord, release it from heaven and let it fall on each one that needs that father's blessing. I ask for a mother's blessing to fall on the women who need help in loving and being a good mother to their children. I ask, Lord, pour out your love. Let them receive your love so that they can give your love. I appoint and send ministering angels to go now to every home that is represented here today. Meet them when they get home. Strengthen them and minister to them and help them, Lord, in their parenting responsibilities. Lord, set their houses in order. Lord, I pray that every woman would submit herself to her husband as unto the Lord. And Lord, you'll bless it. Lord, show the women what a precious place it is to be under their husband's protection and their care. Baptize them anew today with your love, Lord, right now. A fresh anointing of your love, and teach them to properly love themselves, love you. Teach them to properly love you. Teach them to properly love their wives and their children, their husbands and their children. And Lord, we just thank you for the family. We thank you, Father. I pray that this has been a blessing, that that you will be encouraged and that you'll be blessed as you go back home to put these things into practice and begin to see the blessings of the Lord upon your home. God bless you. Father, I thank you for this food that we are about to partake of. Lord, I ask you to bless it and bless everyone who had anything to do with preparing it for us. Let it be a blessing to our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.